State, the Gumbrough Volunteer Fire Company, Inc., and Selco Partnership DBA Verizon Wireless seek a special use exception to place a telecommunication tower, Section 115-194.2A of the Sussex County Zoning Ordinance. The property is located on the southwest corner of Millsboro Highway and Shell Station Road. The 911 address is 37030 Millsboro Highway, Millsboro. The zoning district is C1. The tax map is District 333, Map 11, Parcel 23. Again, it's a special use exception for the telecommunication tower. There are no letters in opposition, no letters in support, and we did receive one mail return. Thank you.
Aye, thank you. Again, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen. John Tracy from Young Conaway, Stargett, and Taylor here on behalf of the applicant, Selco Partnership. I have the same individuals with me to testify on this matter. I presume they're still under oath from the prior.
They are, Mr. Tracy, and just for the board, just for the record, the witnesses are Sue Manchell, Brian Grevis, and Michael Cleary. They have previously been sworn in this evening and are still under oath.
And Mr. Sharp, would you have any objection in terms of shortening the discussion a little bit if I move my testimony from the prior application into this one as well, so as we're not repeating the same thing? There's different wrinkles to this one, but
I'd say just go through the same thing that we have in the record.
Can't blame a guy for trying.
It was very brief last time.
This application is similar in some respects, although there is one noted difference with regard to the inventory 2-mile requirement that we'll be talking about. And you'll actually get to hear Mr. Cleary say something other than I agree for purposes of that. This application seeks to locate a slightly smaller tower. This one's 140 feet as opposed to 145, with the same 5-foot lightning rod on the property of the Gumbrough Volunteer Fire Company. It's an area that the board, if you've driven it, is probably familiar with. That there's the existing tower. We'll get to that. There's the site right there. There's obviously a major east-west corridor that the fire company and the property is located on. The property itself is roughly 7 acres in size. It's improved with the aforementioned fire company, as well as some other outbuilding structures. There's an existing septic system on the property, and there is an existing tower, which we'll talk about in a moment. The application as proposed does meet all of the usual requirements in terms of setbacks from adjoining property lines, as well as lighting, as well as screening around the base of the tower, as well as the design of this to be able to accommodate at least two other users on it should it be constructed. So from that regards, it's a complying application. This property has the same issues with regard to the gaps in coverage. You can see the before picture with the site indicated by the Cypress Prayer logo in the middle. You can see the sites that we are currently located on or proposed to be located on, basically surrounding this property. With the construction of this tower, you notice that we basically cover the east-west thoroughfare from essentially the existing tower at the identified as 9-foot road through basically to the Maryland line, which is the solid blue line that you see on the bottom there. This site, like the others, we've submitted the usual reports, which would include the emissions report that shows in this instance we're 270 times below what the FCC limitations are on this property, as well as the engineer's report, the non-interference report, and the FAA clearance report. So in the sense of the applications, it's very consistent. In this instance, though, the one issue that we have on the application is the two-mile inventory. There is an existing tower on this site. It's located, that's the prior one. It's located approximately in this area in here. It's a lattice tower that you had my Ansel Adams photography taken when I was driving the site a couple of months ago. That's the existing tower, which has AT&T located on it, as well as the fire company apparatus on it. Fortunately for us, from a history standpoint, our engineers, Mazur Consulting, were the ones that did the structural analysis when AT&T last was out on this property to add the new LTE antenna to this tower. And we submitted to the board a letter from Mazur detailing the structural inadequacies of this facility and the inability to modify it further to accommodate the additional 12 antenna that would be required by this application. But what I would like to do is, instead of me telling you about that, is I'd like to have Mr. Cleary testify to that because he's got the PE. I just have the JD after my name, so.
Good evening. Just as Mr. Tracy described, we were the engineer of record who did an analysis and also a structural modification design for the existing tower when AT&T did their modifications to install LTE equipment on the tower. At the time, the tower itself had already been modified, so the legs of the tower, which were the highest failing or the worst failing members of the tower at the time, they are bent angles, so plates were already welded to the outside of the angles, and we proposed to install plates to weld them on the inside. After that was completed, and there's really no more room on the inside to put plates, and to modify this further, at that time, the tower with the proposed loading from AT&T was stressed to 99.4% of its capacity. So obviously any further installation to the tower would cause it to go above its structural capacity per the TIA 222 Rev G code and the IBC 2009.
So basically, Mike, to put that into plain English, is there's no opportunity to modify this tower to accommodate additional antenna.
No, there's not.
And so the added point of that is that was the one structure that was within 2 miles of this that we could go on. And to be honest with you, that's how we ended up at this site. We went to this site because there was an existing tower, and the intention was to co-locate because that's what we do when we can. And when we went in and did the analysis and took a look at it, there's no way to add any additional antenna to this tower. And obviously, the new tower we would construct would be constructed to today's engineering standards, which have even been altered since this was constructed, and would be able to accommodate to other users should they near be, or should somebody need to locate off of this tower, our tower would be available to accommodate the location. You saw from our exhibit, where we were locating this tower. We were locating it in this area. You know, we work with the landlord in terms of doing it. We were avoiding the fire company operation, also preserving the ability for the fire company, if in future it was going to do something on that portion of the property, that it would be able to do that without this tower interfering. At that being said, you can see the closest we are to any structure is 275 feet away, which is essentially 2 times the height of the tower. It's an area that you can see is a fairly heavily traveled route. Obviously, we're in an area that's got some commercial. I know there's a large grain operation with a tower to the west that's off camera, so to speak. And then, of course, there's the existing 170-foot tower, which we would be shorter than, that's already located on the property. Now, Mike and Brian, if you can just come up for a second. Brian, to the extent that I was offering any testimony into the record with regard to what's contained in the RF reports that were submitted to the board, are all those statements accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay. And Mike, to the extent that I offered anything for civil engineering or structural engineering purposes beyond, obviously, the testimony that you put on the record, was all of that accurate to the best of your knowledge?
Yes.
Okay. That's our presentation. We'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay. We'll see if there are any questions from members of the board. Start with you there, Mr. Rutter. Do you have any questions?
No. Okay. Well, these... when you, let's say you did get co-location, Would that affect the EOC center of the fire company or any of those?
No, and we submitted a non-interference report as part of our application. Essentially, everybody operates on a different frequency, and everybody's licensed to specific frequencies. I mean, candidly, I don't think the fire company would want us on the property if we were causing any interference with, for instance, their signals. But we have a report that documents that we will not, that was submitted to the board, that we will not interfere, and to the extent there is any interference, we have to deal with it. We have to correct the problem.
If there is any.
We haven't, not aware of any. I don't think we've ever had instances where we've come up with as interference, but we submit those reports. I think candidly, they are kind of a bygone of a forgotten era when towers were first getting built and people were concerned with that exact thing, TV antenna. In fact, the Kent County Code has a specific provision in there that says if there's any reported interference with TV signals, you have to address it, even though they operate on different wavelengths.
Okay, good. Okay.
Mr. Wortman?
Well, didn't you say the other tower had gumbrel radio on there anyway?
Yes.
So it didn't bother it anyway?
No, that's kind of the point. Yeah, that's kind of the point I was making.
So it's going to be fine with the other one?
Yeah.
So the fire company's not going to locate on the other one either, is it?
What's that?
They're not going to locate on the new one?
No, unless there's, I mean, you heard this one stressed to 99% of its capabilities. Were something to happen, ours would be designed so that they could put their stuff onto ours, yeah.
That's opportunity for
them. Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Hudson?
No questions.
Mr. Mills?
No questions.
Sure.
How old's the other one on the site?
I believe it was constructed around 2009.
And it is, how many are on there right now?
The fire company's on there, and AT&T had an original installation, and then they replaced it with an LTE installation, correct? They added to it. So AT&T is essentially on there with a regular plus an LTE. They added LTE to it.
I guess my question would be then, why wasn't that one constructed? And maybe this isn't your fight, but it's on that same property. Why wasn't that one constructed with the ability to co-locate an extra one?
I can't answer that question because we had no involvement in the actual construction of it.
Was it technology and change in?
Well, the LTE is, and I don't know, Brian, if you want to come up and talk about the LTE aspects of it, but that's changed the antenna size, and it's, where you at? Yeah, why don't you talk about the LTE?
Okay, so typically when you get involved with the LTE, you go from having two to three antennas to anywhere from four. Some carriers have as many as six or possibly even eight, and those antennas are much bigger because the frequency band that the LTE is operating in, it's called the AWS spectrum or frequency band, and that's 2100 megahertz, half of it is. So that's the half that's going out to the radio. The larger or the higher the frequency, the larger those antennas get to be able to direct the gain, to get the gain to direct it back at the phones. So
is the tower that you are proposing then, I assume, is going to be designed in such a way that those LTE type carriers would be able to structurally hold two more co-locations? Is that what
our structural can answer the ability of the new tower? I'm just explaining why there's so many antennas, because a few years ago, not everyone was using LTE, and now that everyone is, it requires these larger antennas. When you have the larger antenna, you have more surface area and so forth.
So since 2009, there's been a shift in the industry that the antennas are larger and they need more structural components than today.
Yes.
There's been a shift in that six-period window.
Yes, and I believe there's also been a change in the rev, the code, and Mr. Cleary can speak to that.
Yeah, there's, in addition to the size of the antennas, there's also been a change in the engineering codes and the structural wind loading requirements, which Mike can talk about.
Okay.
This tower is a little different than most towers with one cellular carrier on it. Without knowing the full backstory of the tower, my guess would be that this was not designed for AT&T.
It was for the fire company.
If that would be my guess too, that was there for the fire company and their antennas, which if you look at the top are almost nothing.
Okay, so that one was designed not for it was a tower that was already existing, and most
that
likely
would be my guess,
the cell
yes.
carrier went on there because there was a structure.
And for a cell carrier, okay. The difference in steel to build a a tower from scratch that can hold multiple co-locators isn't that big of a deal. For a volunteer fire company, you know, a few thousand dollars or whatever it ends up being on steel does make a big difference.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You mentioned not that was it 99%?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So the tower that you're proposing would be far less with three carriers, LTE carriers.
Yes, and typically when we do a modification like that, this was a special case because it had already been modified previously.
Right.
But it wouldn't be our goal, it wouldn't be cost effective to build or modify a tower to be a hair below the structural capacity.
Right.
So normally we would, you know, get this to the maybe 80%, something like that, so that they could come back on for future loading.
And so subsequently your speculation that this was a tower for the fire company was that, you know, their antenna was probably, you know, lower than 70% of the structural load. And what you're building now would be for the purpose of the future.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that, you know, Mr. Sharp kind of hit on that 6 years is a short time period, and that, you know, technology changed very, you know, significantly, and therefore,
yes.
A lot more weight was added and design changes and so forth. I guess maybe the question is, with the tower that you're proposing, it's possible that it could you could have three companies on that tower with and accommodate their future needs as well.
Yes, that's the goal is to, because Verizon and AT&T are kind of the bigger players in the industry. They're the ones that have the best the newest and best technologies. So basically Verizon would take their loading and then 10 feet below that, the typical separation is 10 feet from center line of antenna to center line. So 10 feet below that, 10 feet below that, they would design the tower to accommodate three large carriers. Okay. Now, realistically, if T-Mobile or Sprint or someone were to come along, they typically have less equipment on the towers.
Gotcha.
So that would be an even more of a benefit.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Okay. Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? Anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing them, I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, the applicant suggested that the request for the cell tower would not substantially affect the adversely the uses of adjacent neighboring properties, and that it meets all the cell tower guidelines and requirements within the jurisdiction. So I make a motion that we approve case number 11,678.
Do I have a second to that motion?
I'll second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson that we approve case number 11,678. All those in favor of the motion, Mr. Ricker?
Aye for reasons stated.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye for those reasons stated.
Again, Mr. Milton?
Aye for my reasons.
And Mr. Hudson?
Aye for the reasons stated.
And I, Mr. Calloway, for the previous reason have been stated. So by a vote of 5-0, case number 11,678 is approved.
Thank you, and since I won't see you before that, Merry Christmas to everybody and happy holidays for those that prefer something else.
Same to you and everyone.
Have a good
okay.
one.
Gentlemen, that's everything for this evening, unless there's anything from the office.
Just a reminder that the next meeting is next Monday, December 21st. Your packet is at your seat, so please take it home, read it. If you have any questions, give us a call. We'll try and get you any information if there's anything missing.
All right. Appreciate that. Mr. Sharp, you have anything?
I have nothing further.
Is it as short as this meeting?
Is it going to be short?
I can't answer that question.
There's 17 cases. It would be long.
There are a few more cases than tonight. We had one fall off, and we purposely left one off because we had potentially interesting cases tonight. So there are more cases next Monday.
That's fine. Hey, Harry? Oh, Hearing nothing else, then we'll be open for adjournment.
I'll make a motion that we adjourn, Mr. Chair.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion is adjourned, subject to call.